We have obviously experienced God moving in our midst this morning, and we are thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, for the measure of healing that folks have been experiencing. And as we go throughout the rest of the morning, again, if the Lord has touched you and brought a measure of healing, just please give me a heads up, because we want to encourage the whole body here. And so give us a heads up, and we can all praise Him together. Amen. Want to welcome our online viewers. Great to have you with us this morning. We're here at Christian Life Community Church in Newville. If you don't have a home church of your own, we'd love to invite you out to come worship with us. Our Sunday morning gatherings start at 10 o'clock. And for more information, you can check out our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. Good morning. Great to have you with us. So this morning, my sense was that because I think we all have kind of in our minds an idea of what a Sunday morning looks like at CLCC. And my sense was that it's going to be a bit different this morning. And what I felt led to do was to call up some friends, some other leaders within the church. And I just felt like the part that they were to bring to our gathering this morning was going to be very important, was going to be an integral part of what the Lord wanted to do here this morning. So I gave Marty a call, and Mike, and Pastor Steph, and Pastor Van. Of course, Pastor Van has already shared a word of knowledge and prayed. So the other three, as you feel the Lord is ready for you to share, please give me a heads up. Perhaps one of you is ready right now. No? Not yet? Yes? Okay. Mike, please come up. What Mike has, I have no idea what he's going to share with us, but I believe that it's going to be very important to what God wants to pour out this morning. Amen? And so, Mike, if you'll just grab a mic. We'll have a pair of mics there. I'll open with a pair of mics.
Glory. So I showed Kurt this morning, I've got notes here that is about 17 minutes long. I'm kidding you guys. No, actually, I'm true. It's true. It's part of a message I served, shared with at Global School here the other week. And there's only just a couple things. But this morning in my devotions time, God put the icing on the cake, so to speak. So I do have a scripture besides what I'm going to talk about. And the topic was, what are you doing? And today, it also is, so what are you saying? He took me through sowing and reaping. So we all understand what sowing and reaping is about. You know, we giving, and we also receiving back what God gave us. And that, as we learn to sow, and there's many scriptures, see me afterwards, that I can share more about this. But in this part of sowing and reaping, we have a part to play, and it's right here in our mouth. It's called speaking. What are we sowing? Or what are we saying? Are our words lining up with what God says about us, what He has for us? I'm in a season right now that I've never been in my life. He is stretching me beyond words, but I am not sad about it. I am absolutely wound up tighter than a rubber band, because He has got good stuff for us. When we speak, are we declaring His words, or are we just speaking what comes to our mind? If we partner with the wrong stuff, sowing and reaping works. Harvest comes. Those that have been here for a while, you remember Pastor Karen Hamm. She got kind of in your face about, if you sowed something you didn't want, you better dig it up, because harvest time's coming. If you don't want that harvest, kill it. Kill it with the Word of God. So to go any further, I'm just going to give the last part. And bear with me a second while I bring it up. And actually, it comes out of the book of Leviticus in chapter 25. And he's talking about giving, he was giving the laws on It actually was on the 50 year, the Jubilee year. But in that, it starts in verse 19. It says, "Therefore you shall do my statutes and keep my decrees and do them, and you shall dwell securely in the land. The land shall yield its fruit, and you shall eat your fill and live securely in it. If you say, 'What shall we eat in the seventh year, if we shall not sow or gather in our crops?' Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth produce for 3 years. You shall sow in the eighth year and eat of old crops until the ninth year, until its crop comes in for you." Is that abundant reaping? That's our God that we serve. You can't go wrong. Thank you.
Wow, good stuff. I love what Mike shared, that he's in a season of stretching. Maybe there are some other ones who feel like, ooh, that's me too, I'm in that season as well, stretching. And I just want to point out to us that the Lord will take us through those seasons of stretching. And is it that he's disappointed in the decisions that we've made up to that point? And he's saying, come on, Kurt, would you just get with the program? You've been an utter failure up until now, and I need to stretch you to be the son that I want you to be. Is really that the heart of God when he wants to stretch us? Or is it the exact opposite? Is it that, Kurt, I am so in love with you. You're such a good son. I'm so pleased with you. I've seen that you've been faithful with the little that I've blessed you, and now I want to stretch you so that your capacity can handle more than what you could before. I believe that's more in line with the heart of God than the negative scenario that I painted earlier. Amen? And listen, when we're in the midst of the season of stretching, it doesn't feel real good at times. Are you with me? Yeah. It can feel like, oh, this is going to destroy me. But the exact opposite is happening. He's not setting us up to destroy us. He's not setting us up for failure. He's setting us up for blessing. He's setting us up for greater capacity. You know, there's this word that's used throughout Scripture called sozo in the Greek, sozo. And, well, let's just take a look at a couple. In John 3:16, obviously a very familiar passage to us. Jesus is having this conversation with a Pharisee named Nicodemus, and Jesus says to him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then he goes on to say, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." I didn't bring you through this season of stretching to condemn you, to put you down, to destroy you, but that the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved, might be sozoed. Okay? If we flip over to Luke chapter 7, verse 50, and this is, I believe Pastor Steve just shared this passage not too long ago, of this woman who came into this place where Jesus was, and she literally washed his feet with her tears and her hair, and she had this alabaster box of very expensive fragrance, and she broke that and poured that over his feet. Right? And all these religious folk were kind of indignant about it. And they were thinking, oh, if Jesus knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't allow her to do that. Because she had a bad reputation, right? She was a sinner. And Jesus said, Jesus had the total opposite attitude. And he kind of gave it to them because they didn't wash his feet. They didn't greet him. They didn't give him a kiss. She did all this and more. this sinner, right? Therefore, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking about this woman, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Okay, this is what I want to get to, verse 50. Then Jesus said to the woman, go, your faith has sozoed you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you, has sozoed you. Go in peace. So we got this word in the Greek, sozo. It means to save, heal, cure, preserve, keep safe and sound, rescue from danger or destruction, deliver. Sozo saves from physical death by healing and from spiritual death by forgiving sin and its effects. Sozo in primitive cultures is translated simply to give new life and to cause to have a new heart. To give new life and to cause to have a new heart. Now, of course, we use that terminology, somebody is saved when they're born again, when they receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They are sozoed at that point. But I would like to suggest that we are sozoed over and over again. I'm not saying that we have to get re-saved. I'm not saying we have to get born again again. I'm not saying that. We're saved, right? But there are new levels of having a new heart that we can step into. As the Lord stretches us and increases our capacity, right, to come in alignment with Him. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke 18. This is an encounter that Jesus had with this person who's typically known as the rich young ruler. Okay? And so in Luke 18, verse 18, it says, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And in verse 20, he says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he, the young man, said, all these things I have kept from my youth. And he's probably thinking, yeah, I can check all those off the list. I'm doing pretty good. And he was. And he was. And Jesus wasn't disappointed with that. Jesus wasn't upset with that. Jesus was very pleased. I mean, this guy's doing pretty good, right? He's living a disciplined life. He's trying to follow God to the best of his abilities, what he knows to do, right? And Jesus presents something to him that is going to stretch him way beyond his comfort zone, way beyond maybe something he's ever even considered to do. And is it because Jesus wants to demean him? Is it because Jesus wants to destroy him? No. It's because Jesus can see the potential in this young man. Jesus can see the potential in each of us. Jesus sees the potential in Mike Deal and says, I'm going to stretch you, Mike. You're going to do things that you never thought were possible. I'm stretching your capacity. And Jesus says to the rich young ruler in verse 22, so when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. I'm glad you're doing well. I'm very pleased with you. You're keeping these commandments. You're doing the best you know how to do. But if you will allow me to stretch you, you will do even more than what you're doing now. And that's what the Lord wants to do with each of us as well. And we're able to be sozoed, to receive sozo, a new heart. Again, we're not getting born again again. We're born again, but he's stretching us to step into something more than what we're walking in now. He said, you still lack one thing. He said to this rich young ruler, he said, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And of course, it says that the rich young ruler kind of mulled that over for a moment, and he walked away, and he was sad. Jesus gave this challenging invitation to the rich young ruler that would ultimately result in bigger capacity. But he had to consider if he was willing to pay the price to get to that point. Yeah. And I think each of us, God will present a challenging proposition to each of us. And as a church, God is challenging us. I want to stretch you, not to destroy you, not to make you close your doors, not to put you out of business. I'm stretching you because there's so much more you can walk in. And my prayer is that, like Mike, we will say, stretch me, Lord. Whatever you want to do, stretch me. And along this journey, as I need it, would you sozo me? Would you give me a new heart that I can walk in this challenging thing that you're asking me to do, knowing that it will result in greater kingdom capacity? Do you want that? I want that for me personally. I want that for my family. I want that for this body as well. And the Lord may ask us some very challenging questions, just like he did with the rich young ruler. And I want to encourage all of us that despite how difficult it seems, despite how it's nothing that's ever crossed my mind before, I never even gave this a consideration. But if the Lord is speaking it to us and asking us to step into that, I just encourage all of us to say yes. If we give him our yes, there is no safer place to be but in the will of God, in the yes of what he's asking us to do. And there may be stuff going around all over, right? And we may need to sacrifice some things that are very near and dear to us. The rich young ruler. But it will lead to greater kingdom capacity. It will lead to greater influence in our community. It will, I believe, lead to greater wealth that we can sow into kingdom works around here and literally around the world as well. I believe in sowing and reaping. And as we sow unto the Lord, we will reap a harvest. We will reap a bumper crop. We won't reap a little. If we sow much, we will reap much as well. You with me? So God, sozo us. Give us a new heart along the way to step into the more that you have for us. Amen? Amen. Marty, would you be willing to share what the Lord's giving you? I just believe it's going to be so rich and so good. Somebody needs to hear what our sister's going to share with us.
The word is wholeness. Wholeness for your spirit, wholeness for your mind, your soul, and wholeness for your body. And when I got this earlier this morning, or actually it started last evening, when I got this earlier, I said, Lord, what am I to do in your word concerning faithfulness? So he took me to the scriptures. He gave me three. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 says this, and the very God of peace set you apart. You are holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Nothing wrong until Jesus comes again. 24 says, faithful is he that calls you. who also will do it. So when God gives us the promise in his word is reliable. We can place our whole self on that. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." When we take God at his promise, there sometimes is comeback from the powers of darkness. But this verse says, God is going to establish us. He's going to settle us in that truth to the point where he's going to keep us from evil. The evil powers will have no play. Hebrews 10:23 says, the writer of Hebrews says, here's what we are to do, and this is my encouragement. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. When we stand on truth and not move away from it, God produces the harvest, the victory, the answer, the revelation, the insight, whatever that need is. And so today, I believe that God is raising our faith to the next level to say, yes, Lord, I agree with your word, and I will stand on truth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Marty. So good what you're sharing with us. Look, when we're about the Lord's business, is the enemy pleased with that? Not for a second, no. Will we experience some backlash? Probably, yeah. We're followers of Jesus. Did Jesus experience backlash during his earthly ministry? I mean, how many times were they ready to take him and stone him? Jesus experienced some backlash. Jesus told us, in this world you will have tribulation. So it's really not if, it's really kind of when, right? Look, if we're following hot after God, the enemy is not pleased with that. And he will try to thwart the work of God in us. And Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But then he went on to say, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Nothing the world can throw at us can prevent the will of God from manifesting in our lives. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Amen? He's given us power and authority over the enemy of our souls. Now, with that, I can't stand up here and say, I totally have all the answers to every question, and every situation that I'm in turns out the way I think it should. That'd be ridiculous to say. There are a lot of things that have happened in my life and in the lives of loved ones that I don't understand. They did not go the way that I thought they would or that I wanted them to. When I sat in that room with Karen Hamm years ago, after they had told her that her husband passed away, I didn't understand that. At 62, I didn't understand that. And I didn't like that. And it didn't go the way I wanted it to go. And Mike, I know that you can understand that with Kay's passing here. And there's stuff like that I don't have the answers for. There are things that I don't know. Bill Johnson, his wife Benny, recently passed away. She had the whole world praying for her. I was praying along with them, agreeing in prayer for her healing. I was expecting to hear a testimony that Benny Johnson was healed. And instead, I get the report that she passed away. I don't understand that. I don't like that. And we can all think of times in our lives when that's happened. And there are things that we just don't understand. But we can't live in this place where, well, it didn't go the way I wanted it to, so I guess God doesn't heal. That would be ridiculous. We saw a measure of healing this morning that God did. And, oh, by the way, I believe we're not done yet this morning. I believe that there's more to happen this morning. We're going to have a time of communion at the end where we're just coming up and communing with the Lord, partaking of the elements, and we're just going to linger in His presence. And I believe there's more healing. There's more that the Lord wants to do this very morning. I'm not talking about 3 years from now. I'm talking about things that we can step into right now. There is more that He wants to do. But I can't say, the Lord didn't heal Al, and He died, so I guess He doesn't heal. Do I understand it? No. But I got to go with what I do know. I know He's a good God. I know He's faithful. I know that He still heals. I know that He healed in the Bible, and He still does today. Turn with me to John 11. He not only heals, He raises people from the dead, which He's commissioned us to do as well. A real familiar account here of Lazarus, who was a great friend of Jesus. This is a man that was near and dear to the heart of Jesus, as all of us are. And just to kind of paraphrase the story for time's sake, word was sent to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, even to the point of death. And Jesus, who only did those things that He saw the Father do, and only said those things that He heard the Father say, when He got word of Lazarus that was sick unto death, waited 2 days before He went. Now, does that make sense to you? This man that was dearly loved by Jesus, and he gets word that he's sick to the point of death, and Jesus waits. But He tells us why He waited. In chapter 11 of John, the fourth verse, it says, when Jesus heard that, He heard that Lazarus was sick, He said, this sickness is not unto death. Jesus is proclaiming and declaring some things here. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus had a very definite mindset of how He was viewing this situation. And it wasn't a frantic and, oh, I got to get to where Lazarus is. I got to pray for him before he dies. It wasn't that. It was, this sickness is not unto death. I don't care if he does die. That's not going to be the final result of this. That's not the conclusion of this sickness that he's walking in right now, that he has right now. The conclusion of this thing that Lazarus is in the midst of is that, for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus had a very different mindset about Lazarus' sickness than what probably all of us would have. I know what I would have had. I speak for myself. Jesus saw this very differently. And how many times have you experienced that in your walk with the Lord? That the Lord sees something in a different way than what you see it. Yeah, we talked about it several weeks ago, how the disciples came to Jesus, and they were up in this like rural area, and He had been teaching the multitudes, right? And they had been receiving from this great teaching that Jesus was just pouring out, and it was beginning to get later in the day. And the disciples were trying to do the responsible thing, right? And go to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, it's getting late in the day. We really should dismiss the people so that they can go and make provisions for themselves if they need to get a place to stay tonight or get something to eat. Like, it's getting to be that time, you know, where we should just release them. They need to eat. And Jesus saw it totally different. He flipped it and said, they don't need to leave. You give them something to eat. Remember we talked about this not too long ago? How Jesus saw the situation totally different than how His disciples saw it. Does anyone feel that way in your walk with the Lord? Yeah, I see that hand there, Frank. Yes, sometimes we do. And the Lord is stretching us, and it's not to destroy us. It's not so that we walk in defeat. It's not to take us out. He's stretching us, giving us an opportunity that he would sozo us and that we could walk in greater capacity than what we were walking in before. Amen? And so we know that in this account with Lazarus, that Lazarus died. Then Jesus shows up to the party. And of course, he has these two interactions with Lazarus's sisters. And in the end, of course, he raises Lazarus from the dead. Because this was his mindset from the beginning. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And things look like anything but God would get glory out of this situation. But Jesus was honed in to what Father God had evidently spoken to his heart. Did it stretch him? I don't know. Would it have stretched you? Yeah. There's a guy, your best friend's sick, and the Lord says to you, wait 2 days, wait until he's dead, then go and raise him from the dead. I mean, that's what's being said here, right? How do you feel if the Lord says that to you? Is that challenging? Yeah, darn right. But in the end, let's just go to the end. It says in verse 44, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. I can't imagine what this was like or what these people who were there were thinking. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. He probably had to give him some instructions because, I mean, they're literally dumbfounded at this point, right? Have they ever seen this happen before in their lives? Have they ever seen this on the internet before in their lives? No, no. And they must have been just, I don't believe what I just saw. And so Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And then verse 45 says, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him. And the conclusion that Jesus was aiming for, he hit the mark. He hit the mark. This sickness isn't unto death, but for the glory of God. And the people that saw that believed in him. Was God glorified? Yes. Was his Son glorified? Yes. God is stretching us that we step into the things that he's asking us to do, the scary things, the seemingly impossible things, so that he gets glory through us. Amen? Along the way, we need him to sozo us, though, to give us a new heart, to give us a new mind. Because my knee-jerk reaction isn't wait 2 days until the guy's dead and then go pray for him. I don't think I'm alone in that either. But as he asks us, will we partner with him, knowing that it leads to greater capacity and that he receives glory? Amen? Steph, do you have any? Yes, yes, please come up here. Yes, yes. Can I just say I love Pastor Steph. She is amazing. And I remember Steffi when she was just, you know, and now, I mean, oh, she's just awesome. So share with us, Steph, please.
Oh, man, my heart is just burning because the Lord put this verse on my heart, and the more Pastor Kurt talked, I was like, Holy Spirit, help me. So we're talking about what we don't understand, and I am walking through a lot of things and have been for at least the last 3 years that I keep saying, why? I keep getting discouraged, and I know some of you have been. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This verse is, next verse is for somebody, and it's for me. This will bring health to your body, life to your bones. I've been struggling physically, and I know that I am going to cling to this verse, because I've known the verses 5 and 6, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, don't lean on your understanding, because we can't understand. There's just some stuff we will never understand, and that's okay. We just have to trust that our Father does know what he's doing, and he knows what he's doing, not in somebody else's life, in my life. He has a plan. He knows what he's doing, and I don't have to figure it out. How many of you know kids? Do they have to know everything? No, they just trust that we're going to take care of them. They are not worried. And Jesus says, if we want to be able to walk in the kingdom of God, we have to be like children. We have to just trust their Father is taking care of us, that he has a plan. He doesn't say worry about it. He doesn't say figure it out. He just says trust. 9 and 10 is for someone who's struggling in their faith with finances. Honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruits of your crops, or income in our case, because we don't do crops. Some people do, but then, and only then, will your barns be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. And I feel like sometimes out of fear, we hold on to our finances, to our health, to the people that we love. But God's word says he cannot bless what we do not give to him. So if there's something that you're holding on to, whether it's a person, whether it's finances, whether it's your health, or just trying to grasp and understand something, he's saying, if you release that to me, I can do great things with that. But as long as you're holding on to it, it's in your hands, and I can't do anything with it. He can only do something with what is in his hands. So I encourage you today to ask the Lord, what am I holding on to, Lord, that I wish was different, that I don't understand, that I want to see change, that I want to see blessed and grow and be abundant and be whole, like we were talking about, like Marty was sharing, with wholeness. And whatever that thing is, if it's not whole, that means it's not his, because if it's not good, he's not done with it yet. So I encourage you, if there's an area of your life that you want to see changed, probably you're holding on to it still. I know I have stuff that I'm like trying to figure out, trying to understand. He's like, just give it to me. I can do something with that if you'll give it to me. And step out in faith and just trust that what he says is true. So if he says, hey, give me 10% of your income before you pay your bills, that's scary, right? So I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to pay my bills first. But then money keeps running low and I can't figure out why. Guess what? He can't bless it because I didn't surrender it to him. And for me, it's the same with my health. I just have to trust him. I have to listen to him. I have to, like when you were sharing about the rich young ruler, there's stuff I know I need to change that I'm like, oh, that's costly. I don't want to change that, you know? But he can help us to let go of those things and to trust him. And when we do, he's going to prove faithful, just like with this with Lazarus. It looks hopeless, but it's never over until he says it's over. Amen?
Thank you, Pastor Steph. And thank you, Marty and Mike. And I know he's not here, but thank you, Van, for just being willing to step into the flow of what the Lord is doing this morning. I appreciate you all so much. Thank you. And we are so blessed to have leaders like this here at CLCC that really have your best interest in mind and want to see you walking in the destiny and the plans and purposes that God has for you specifically. So thank you all. We're going to get ready to do that Chris Valentin video here in just a minute. It's just a short 6-minute video. I've been going to the gym lately, and when I'm working out, I like to listen to some sermons, and so I might listen to Bill Johnson or Chris Valentin or somebody else. And this one just caught my attention, and I felt like I was supposed to share it with the church family here this morning. And so it just talks about how when we're walking in the plan of God, how we're walking in the will of God, that there is sometimes some backlash. Sometimes the enemy comes against us, but that God is faithful, as Marty was sharing with us this morning. He'll complete the work in us as we continue to walk with Him, as we continue to trust Him, as we continue to not try to figure it out, as Pastor Steph was sharing with us. And that we're not those who just lay down and roll over when the enemy tries to attack us, but that we stand up in confidence and we continue to walk the steps that the Lord has for us. So, Andrew, if you would, go ahead and play that video, and if you want to kill the lights up front, that'd be great. Then we're going to wrap up with communion and a time of prayer.
I think it's imperative that we actually believe in the ministry God's given us. Yes, we don't want to be arrogant. Yes, we don't want to be a narcissist. We don't want to be entitled. But it's incumbent on us to believe that God has called us to a great work, and that we are people who don't run from trouble. That, okay, here we go. In Numbers chapter 13, I'm just going to tell you the story. Moses sent 12 spies out. I know you know the story. He sent 12 spies out to spy out the promised land. And they came back, and 10 of the spies and all of Israel gathered. Of course, they were excited to hear about this promised land, that they had left Egypt to come into this promised land. And so Moses asked the spies to give the congregation of 1.5 million people a report on the promised land. And they said, oh, the land is good. They brought back grapes that were the size of, I don't know, apricots or something. And they were like, it's a great land. The only thing is that there's giants in the land. And this is the report. And they said, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And we were also in theirs. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we also were in their sight. And the people all fell down on the ground and began to weep. Moses fell down on the ground, tore his clothes. Aaron goes, you're down, I'm down. He's on the ground, weeping. The people are complaining to Moses as they're on the ground, saying, you took us, brought us out here just to destroy us, and it's going on like that. Caleb and Joshua refused to fall down. They stand up before the people, and they said, you're right, the land is great, and there are giants in the land. And here's what Joshua says, only don't rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. The word prey in Hebrew is daily bread. The people said, the spies said, there are giants in the land. And Joshua said, and they shall be to us our daily bread. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. What did they think? What did they say? What did they feel like? They said, we were like grasshoppers in our sight. Let me say this. If you feel like a grasshopper, you will feel like everyone thinks you're a grasshopper. You interpret the world not as it is, but as you are. Your commentary on the world is actually a commentary on yourself. Some people see a problem in every opportunity, and some people see an opportunity in every problem. Listen, it just is determined by what you see when you look out of the window of your life. If you feel like a grasshopper, everything's a problem. John the Baptist in Matthew 3 said, John the Baptist was preaching, make the crooked way straight, make the rough places smooth. Right? He came to straighten out the crooked places, and he came to bring righteousness to people. And it says this of him. It says, and he dressed in camel's hair, and he ate locusts. Grasshoppers. I'm pointing out that what kept the people out of the promised land, John ate, put a little honey on them, and ate them. It was a prophetic sign. I came to make the crooked places straight. What crooked places? The Israelites feared their destiny. They feared the people. And John said, not me. I eat those things with a little honey. Yeah. It's a prophetic declaration. Are you getting where I'm going? I'm just pointing out that God has called us to greatness. And by the way, I think this part's funny. You know, they get into the promised land 40 years later and they never see a giant. They don't see a giant for 300 years and then a boy kills it with a rock. Some people point out, well, Caleb asked for the land of the giants. That's true, but if he had a battle, it wasn't even worth honorable mention. There isn't one battle that Caleb had with giants that's ever written in the Bible. So if he had a battle, it wasn't even honorable mention. I'm saying the thing that kept them out of the promised land for 40 years and a whole generation died off, they didn't even see the freaking giants for 300 years, then a 15-year-old kid killed it with a rock. Yeah. By the way, if you don't have a giant in your promised land, it ain't your promised land. Whoa. If you like row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, I want to tell you that you're in the wrong stream. If nothing is resisting you, you're not doing anything worth resisting. Resistance is a compliment. It's part of the way you know you're on the right path. Jesus said, love your enemies. You gotta have some. I don't want people to say at my funeral, and everyone loved him. I don't want everyone to love me. I want people who don't love God to not love me. Maybe. At least some of them.
Okay, Andrew, that's good. Thank you. How about that? If we see ourselves as grasshoppers, we interpret the world from that smallness. Oh. And God's saying, I want to sozo you. I want to give you a new heart. I want to stretch you so that you have greater capacity. That's what He has for us. He doesn't want us to stay in this place where we think of ourselves as grasshoppers. He has greatness in mind for His sons and daughters. He has greatness in mind for this church. He has greatness in mind for the Newville area and beyond. We're His ambassadors to manifest that greatness that He wants to bring through us. But we can't do that if we're grasshoppers in our mind. And I just love what he pointed out. The things that we see as obstacles now, we'll never face them again as we have victory there. They never saw a giant for 300 years. And in a day, a 15-year-old boy killed him with a rock. The things that seem so big to us now, oh, how can I ever get over or around or through this obstacle? We're His sons and daughters. He has a way as we trust in Him. He has a way through that. And as we defeat that enemy, it just kind of falls by the wayside, I think. Will there be another enemy down the road? Yeah, probably. But He'll be with us through that one as well. Let's not see ourselves as grasshoppers. John the Baptist ate them, put a little honey on them and eat them. We eat our enemies. We don't lay down and roll over. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. We walk in victory against those spiritual enemies that try to come against us. And listen, have we been experiencing that recently in this house? We have, I mean, I could go down a laundry list of people that have been dealing with physical ailments and maladies, and I'm on that list. I had a mild heart attack not too long ago. But listen, I'm not going to lay down and roll over. I am a son of the Most High. And guess what? God ain't done with this guy yet. And I'm not done with him. And I'm going to walk in victory, and I'm going to walk in the destiny that he has for me. And I want that for all of us as well. Will there be questions along the way? Sure. Stuff we don't understand? Yes. But let's go with what we do understand and allow him to perhaps explain the things to us that we don't understand along the way. If he doesn't, can we be content that someday we'll see him face to face and we can ask him then? Although I've heard so many people say, I don't even know when I'm in the presence of God if I'll even care to ask him that question anymore. You know? I don't know. We'll find out though, won't we?